You have found the podcast of possibilities. This is Tammy Coyne, alchemist and way shower, showing people how to transform their pain into possibilities. This is a storytelling podcast where I take you through various stories of my life, from childhood trauma to spirituality, to show you what's possible. Hello, hello. Today we're going to talk about my 7 secrets for creating lasting self-improvement in any area. Welcome. If you know anything about me and my journey, you will know that my life has been continuous change. I have moved over 80 plus times in my life. There have been numerous transitions, numerous losses, and numerous things that needed to be improved in how I was doing life. So with that, I have had a lot of trial and error. I've tested things, failed at a lot of things, and when you really get down to it, these 7 things I have found to be my most favorite ways to create lasting change. So let's get into it. Secret number 1 is to get specific. One of the quickest ways to fail at anything you are attempting to do for self-improvement or otherwise is being too broad. I'll give you an example. Sometimes people will say, "I just want to be happy," but they have yet to define what happy means. Another example, "I want to lose weight." Well, again, it's rather arbitrary. It isn't giving you anything specific. So what happens when we set something big like that, it is like an impossible target to meet. And so when we set out with good intentions, we absolutely fail. And then we feel like we can't do it. So get really specific and really small. Going back to the losing weight example, rather than lose weight, get specific on how much you want to lose. And if it is, say, 100 pounds, I've been in a situation before where it was 150 pounds. Well, that's pretty overwhelming. So start with something much easier to digest, so to speak. 2 pounds, 5 pounds, something along that line. So real specific and really small. And you can do that with anything. Let's say you want to improve your eating habits. You know, get real specific on what that looks like. Number 2, take care of the you of tomorrow. There's an old saying called, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Well, let's talk about that one for a little bit. So let's say that you've decided that you would like to go on a juicing fast, as an example. And, you know, some of these things have to do with weight. This is definitely not just a weight thing. These are just some of the things I've done in my life, and so I'm applying them. You can take this and apply it to whatever you're doing, literally whatever you're doing. But let's say it's a juice fast, and I've decided this is the end-all be-all for what I need to do to lose weight, let's say. Yet, you've never tasted juice. Okay, well, that's a problem because the first time you taste the juice, it's probably going to gag you. I'm telling you, it's definitely an acquired taste. So if you decide that's how you're going to do it, and then you jump into this juice fast and you can't stand the juice, well, then it already feels like a fail, right? By the same token, let's say you have done it, but you don't have a blender or a juicer, or you don't have the vegetables or whatever the case may be. So these are things that you need to think about. What is your direction? What is your mechanism for creating this change? And do you have the parts in place? Let's say you want to improve your, I quit smoking before too. I was a 2.5 pack a day smoker. Well, let's say you're wanting to quit smoking and you've never considered what's going to happen when the cigarettes are gone. Like, what do I do instead? If I'm always smoking, well, what do I do when I'm not smoking? These are things to think about before you start on a self-improvement journey of any kind to help you win. Number 3, understand the difference between want, should, and must. So in this, again, let's say I've been using smoking and losing weight. Let me think of something else. Let's say you want to go with self-care. You know, how you want to take care of yourself better. So let's say you have an idea of, oh, I really want to start taking cold showers, as an example. Well, if you just want to do it, but you're not committed to it, yeah, you're probably not going to make it happen. If you feel like you should do it, then it becomes a guilt thing, and then it feels like you're shamed when you cannot complete the task. Then there's the must do. That is a place that you come to in your mind where you have committed to it. It's no longer something that you want, kind of like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. I'd like to do that. You know, I want to do that. Or, I really should do that. No, this is that place inside. This is that place in your body where you've become, this is a must. I'm committed to this and I'm gonna make it happen. That's the place you want to be to really create the lasting change for yourself. Number 4, add versus restrict. This is a big one for me. I don't like being restricted. I don't like being told what to do. I don't like feeling like I'm trapped in any way. This has to do with childhood trauma. So what I found was if someone was restricting me, even if I was restricting myself, I would immediately want to rebel and not do it. So we'll go back to improve your nutrition. Well, if you start out with telling me, or I start out with telling me all the things I have to give up, all the things I have to restrict, I'm not going to stay with it very long. I'm really not. Because then it feels like a punishment instead of a reward. So instead, I start to think about the things I'd like to add into my life. As an example, my nutrition was absolute crap. Absolute crap. I was probably having you know, fast food, you know, three meals a day, maybe, or whatever. I mean, it was just really not good. Well, that happened to be the pattern I was in for the life that I had. And I knew that that just wasn't working for me anymore. And I wanted to add more nutritious food into my life. Well, I didn't say, okay, you're going to take away all of this other stuff and all you're going to have is this nutritious food. Well, no, my body wasn't ready for that. It was definitely setting me up for fail if I jumped right into, let's say, got rid of everything, and all of a sudden, the psychology of it would start to work against me. So instead, I would think, how can I add value to my life? Well, I can start to add in things that make me feel good. Perhaps for breakfast, I will start having an organic breakfast. And exactly, this is what I did. Start having an organic breakfast that I feel really good about. So I did that. And I might still be eating crap the rest of the day. However, I had made a change that I was feeling really good about. Another way to do that is, let's say you, I'm someone who has had a, still has a problem with drinking pop or soda, depending upon where you are in the world. And let's say that I want to add, or I'm committed to adding more water into my day. Well, if what I do is I take away all of my pop, my soda, all I do is want my soda. That's all I can think about. So instead, I just start adding water on top of the amount of soda I'm already drinking. Well, if I'm committed to drinking the water, then I'm going to want to stay with that. And I didn't completely take the pop away, but what I do is I start gradually letting the pop fall away because I'm committed to the water. If that makes sense, at that point, it becomes a choice rather than a restriction. And my mind is able to deal with that so much better. Okay, number five, celebrate everything. People just don't see the wins. They look at things as a failure. So here, I'm using these similar examples, but hopefully you are able to apply it to your particular situation. Let's say again, use the fast food example, and let's say you're going through the drive-thru and you want fries. You want fries with that, okay? And you decide that today you get a small fry instead of an extra large fry. Well, some people would say, well, you still had fries. No, celebrate it. Celebrate that. That's huge. That is huge. Let's say you're, I was a 2.5 pack a day smoker. Let's say I had, what is that? 40, 60 cigarettes a day. Let's say I came down to 55 cigarettes. Let's say I came down to 59 cigarettes. Now, I haven't smoked in a long, long time, but just using this as an example, anything I do different is a win. Anything I do to celebrate is important. Let's say I always have, a cigarette after dinner. And this particular day, I opted for something else. Well, that's a win. Celebrate that. So begin to see all the places where you did a great job. Don't look at it at perfection, like, well, I didn't do this and I didn't do that, so I failed. No, you did a great job, so celebrate yourself for the willingness to do anything and for all the places that you won. Number 6, create expansiveness, not a prison. Let's say you've decided you want to add something to your life. Let's go with exercise as an example. And let's say that you've decided that you are going to go to the gym 7 days a week. Well, first, do you even like to go to the gym? That's something you need to think about. If you don't, then think of another way to bring exercise into your life that isn't the gym. And definitely don't commit to 7 days, you know? Instead, what I would recommend is that you create a list of activities that you enjoy naturally that could give you the same results as going to the gym. Because the point is adding some activity into your life. So what you'd want to do then is start testing them out and give yourself the expansiveness to do different things on different days and not be so committed into a ritual that feels like a prison. What's going to happen over time is you may find that you sort of migrate to these certain things. It's kind of like clothes. You know, you may find that, you know, I've got a closet full of clothes, but I really love this one t-shirt, you know, and I always go to this one t-shirt. Well, anything you do is going to kind of be that way. As humans, we start to connect to things that we really, really enjoy. And then once you realize what those things are, then create rituals that feel amazing to you and help you feel expansive versus being trapped in a prison. Number 7, this is important, having the right support. So much of my journey has had to be done in isolation, where I didn't have a support system. Often those people the closest to you are the absolute worst support system I have found. You would think it would not be that way, but often it is. You know, you are doing your best to make an improvement in your life, and all of a sudden they're coming at you with every possible thing to derail you. And call it law of attraction or whatever. You're trying to do one thing, and so they're bringing you something to, get you off the track. So what I would recommend is that you find other people, perhaps a group or something like that, people who are of the same mindset of what you're doing, so that helps you with your support. However, if it's down to not finding those people, you know, you can't find the people, so you're going to quit versus do it on your own, definitely do it on your own. Stay committed to you. So, to recap again, these are my 7 secrets for creating lasting self-improvement in any area. So, number 1, get super specific on your goal and then make it small, something attainable. Number 2, take care of the you tomorrow. Remember to plan out for things, and that may be thinking things through to figure out what are you going to need to be successful. Number 3, understanding the difference. Is this a want, a should, or a must? You really need to be at a place of this is a must internally before it becomes something you can achieve. Number 4, consider adding things in versus restricting yourself. Once you add good things in, the things that you want to fall away can naturally begin to fall away. Number 5, celebrate everything that you do. See your wins. It's so, so important to see your wins. Number 6, create expansiveness for yourself, not a prison. Do things that you've never done before. Bring things in that are going to bring you joy and make you want to continue this journey of self-improvement instead of it feeling like torture. When I quit smoking, I only quit because I was diagnosed with emphysema. It never felt like a choice. It felt like torture. And it felt like I was trapped and in a prison and I was angry and I wasn't happy about it. I've learned so much since then. Please add expansiveness to your life so that you feel nurtured and cared for as you're doing these self-improvement things. And number 7, find the right support system. Be surrounded by people who can support you on your journey. And if you cannot find those people, be your biggest cheerleader. Be your biggest support system. Use you and the person who looks back at you in the mirror to cheer you on and keep you going. If you need to, record your voice on the phone. I've done this too. Record your voice on the phone and play it back to you to remind you that you have somebody, the other version of you, that's cheering you on. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I look forward to hearing what you're doing for your self-improvement, if these tips have helped you, and if you need further help, reach out. I'd love to help you on your journey. Until next time. Thank you so much for joining me in today's episode. Join me every Saturday where I release a new episode and discuss childhood trauma, spirituality, and all that's possible. To connect with me further, check out tammycoin.com.